All right, praise the good Lord. I believe this is February the 9th, and I was expecting to be a big snow on this morning. There was a little bit of a frost on this morning, but it's a good day. Any day is a good day to go to the house of God.
Amen.
And it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I had prayed earlier this week as I was making a journey, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you're not too busy, I said, would you mind going with me? I said, you and I, we can sup together on the way up there. And to my amazement, he did go with me. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, what would you have me to preach on this Sunday? And he told me, and actually I was expecting him to maybe change it, but he didn't. And I'm looking forward to delivering the message God put in my heart. Because I told the Lord, I said, that'll work for me. I'll be glad to deliver that message. So I'm looking forward to preaching today. But we're teaching this morning out of Proverbs chapter 14. We finished verse 6 last time. We was in Proverbs 14, 6 was our last verse. I'll go ahead and read it. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Does anybody know why a scorner don't find wisdom? Well, I don't know myself, but he could be going about it all the wrong way. Have you ever lost something and he was looking for it everywhere to where it was? A scorner is kind of like that. I tried that stuff. I've been to church. I've read that Bible.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If you'll go where it's at, it won't be hard to find it.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Now, I've been looking for stuff and give up on it and come to find out I had it all along. It was just somewhere I didn't realize that I put it there. And anyway, the scorner, he don't find wisdom. One reason he don't find it, he ain't looking where it's at. But the latter part of that verse says, but knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. Now, let me throw this in. I didn't put this in last time I read that verse, but the light just came on as I'm up here reading that verse. And I do like it on that fashion. I ain't going to deny it.
That's right.
I do like it on that fashion. But look at here what Paul wrote here in the book of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, but the natural man, well, let's back up a little bit. Let's start at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. See that latter part of that verse says, but knowledge is easy to him that understandeth.
Right.
And Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? That was all I knew till I got saved, got my eyes open.
Right.
Save the spirit of man that's in him, and that's all I had was the spirit of man. But even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, and I had plenty of that. I could have, I could have spoke all day long about the things of the world. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God wants us to know, and I'll comment on that here in a minute. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. You know, there's some, and they truly are some smart people down here.
Yeah.
But I could confess that I'm smarter than them. I had enough sense to get saved, and they ain't saved. Albert Einstein, he said this about the Bible. This is what he said. He said, the greatest science in the world is the Bible. Mm-hmm. He said, I wished I could understand it. Now the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, giveth all men liberally. And Albert Einstein didn't go, where is that? Well anyway, which verse 13, which the Holy Ghost teaches. I've been in God's school for 32 years.
Right.
And I'm still in God's school. I'm still learning.
Amen.
And still growing. And you know, we're not supposed to stay a babe. We're supposed to seek the sincere milk of the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. And we're supposed to grow up that stature of maturity where we can stand on our own two feet and war a good warfare with this old devil, this lying devil down here that comes against all the knowledge of good and all the light of God and tries to somehow defeat every child of God. And you know, he can't keep me from going to heaven, but I'll tell you what he can do. He can make me on the pile of castaways. He can make shipwreck out of my faith. And even though I've got faith, I ain't using it. It's almost like preaching this morning. Which the Holy Ghost teaches. That's the greatest teacher I know.
Yes.
I remember one time my pastor, I preached a message out of the book of Job, and he come to me after that message. He said, "Where'd you get that outline at?" I said, "From the Holy Spirit." I didn't know what to tell him because I have to admit, God gave it to him and I just delivered it.
Yeah.
But, I'm just a messenger boy anyway. But he said, "Where'd you get that outline?" I said, "From the Holy Spirit." And I was preaching where Job said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. For I look on the left hand where he worketh and on the right hand and can't perceive where he is." And I was talking about in our search for God and trying to find God. And a lot of people are in that dilemma.
Yeah.
And they go everywhere but where they need to go. Well, anyway, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, the Holy Spirit won't bear witness with anything but truth according to Jesus. It says, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So that wisdom. And let's go on and read verse 15. "But he that is spiritual judges all things." Somebody says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Hey, I judge.
That's right.
I don't want no child molester staying with my grandbabies. I judge. I don't drink milk anyway, but if it was 6 months past the date, I wouldn't drink it. I pass judgment on a lot of things. Hey, I tell you right now, I buy a lot of things. I pass some kind of judgment like, hey, I'll keep it or I'll sell it. But you know, I don't buy anything that I don't judge it's worthy to buy.
Yeah.
I don't just throw money at anything. I want to look. Somebody said, make sure there ain't no septic tank. I want to look it over pretty good. I may not look the horse in the mouth, see how old it is. But I'll tell you right now, if I buy one, I want to be a pretty good horse. You know what I mean? But anyway, he that's spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, concerning judgment, look over here real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust, not before the saints? You see, there's a right way of doing things.
Right.
Matter of fact, the Bible tells us, if there is a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one.
Amen.
In the spirit of weakness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's a right way to do things, if you know what I mean. God gave us everything we need to know how to do whatever we need to do. But in Galatians here, chapter 6, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are," there's that word, spiritual.
Yeah.
"Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted."
Right.
Well, going back to judgment in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 2. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So I just wanted to tell you about judgment. We better judge. I'll tell you right now, buddy. I don't want someone with lace on their underwear behind the pulpit wherever I go, church. I'll just tell you that right now. And I think that's an abomination. I think God declares it is. And you know what? I love them. I'll take a whole front row full of them. I'll set them right up here. Don't buy me a bit. If they can take the preaching, I can take, I guess, them being here. I'll take it. Now, one more thing about about wisdom, and I'll go back to our Sunday school lesson. The Lord's given this to me fast, and I can process it in my mind. But I love lost people. They ain't none no more lost than other.
Right.
They just need the Lord. But in one more thing about wisdom and learning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. You see, we've got help. That Holy Spirit, Brother Fitchpatrick preached that message. I know what I know. It's at the top of this page right here. But I'm glad God didn't leave us in the dark. I'm glad He brought us in the light. I'm glad He gave us a good teacher. And I'm glad, praise God, we'll never be forsaken. But knowledge is easy to him that understand it. Now let's go to our Sunday school lesson. I just wanted to read that last verse. I had no idea all that was going to come out. Verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now God's given some good advice right here. And I want to back that up. Let me think here real quick. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Sister Sharon, good morning. I missed you last Sunday. I'll tell you right now, I can't play the piano.
Well, why can't you?
I tried. They said, we'll wait for Sharon to get here.
Well, I miss being here.
I missed you. Good to see you, sis. In Proverbs 22, look at verse number 19. Now God here, He says that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. Look real quick at Proverbs 19. Verse 27. Here's God's advice again. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. There'll be some silver-tongued person talk you out of things you know to be true if you're not careful.
Right.
The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not.
I believe He's trying to tell us there when they start that, just walk away from them.
He says, go from the presence of a foolish man. There's some people full of themselves.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I promise not to get political, but this is the best illustration I can think of right here, right now. Mitt Romney.
Yes, Lord.
He's full of Mitt Romney. He's not for no one but Mitt Romney. I hate to say it like this.
That's true.
But I will tell you this. He's not trying to promote anyone but Mitt Romney. He can't accept the fact that he didn't win his election against Barack Obama. And he's still a snake in the grass. I have nothing against him. I wish he's saved. I know he's a Mormon. Probably got them temple underwear on. Probably got lace on him. I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, he was the only Republican. He was the only Republican that believed the lies that was raised against the president. And I will tell you this. You'll find out what I said about the lies that was raised against the president. Because this ain't going away.
No.
It's going to run its course. And when it's all said and done, there's going to be a bunch of embarrassed people. But there was a coup raised up against the president before he ever even got elected. And what bothered me was one man stepped out and said, I'm voting against, quitting the president. All the rest of them voted for him. I wish that hadn't happened. But he's the best example I can think of. Sometimes you've got to separate yourself from people that I believe the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Now, me and old Brother Donnie, we get out, man, we hunt arrowhead, but we're in agreement about it.
Amen.
And he'll praise God, look at her! And I'll praise God with it. And I'll say, come over here, pull this out, see what this is.
Yeah.
And he'll get down and rub on that thing like it's got a genie in there, and we'll both look at that. But you know what? We're in agreement about it.
Amen.
Amen.
And we enjoy our company together.
Yeah.
He'll share things with me, I'll share things with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How pleasant, how good it is when brethren go together in unity.
Yeah.
You know, life can be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Some people make it a burden. They just complain about it. They're chronic complainers. Somebody said, whatever you don't say good morning to this person, they'll suck all the life out of you. And some preachers, I've seen them, they won't shake some people's hand. They're afraid it might be contagious. But I'll tell you what, boy, I've been good to me.
Amen.
I woke up early this morning. My wife, she said, be sure and get me up at 7 o'clock. And I got one way for her. I got up about like 4 o'clock. And I spent a little while in there fellowshipping with the Lord and just enjoying things of God. I was fixing a cup of coffee, and I mean, it come on me, and I had one hand up, tears dropping off my cheeks, because God revealed something to me that I should have already known, and I'll reveal it, I'll share it with you today in this message. I'm preaching today, but I should have already known what He revealed to me. But I have to admit, when He revealed it to me, it squeezed my heart a little bit. And I like that kind of fellowship.
Amen.
God says, go from the presence of a foolish man. Some people, you'd be better off to shun.
Right.
I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5.
While you're going there, I'd like to say about Romney, was what upset me about him is he put his religion in.
Yeah, he's backpedaling.
Yes, Lord. everybody, you know what, brother? You and me can agree on everything, or we can disagree on some things, but you just don't put God in the middle of it. That's,
I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Nancy Pelosi, she said, I pray for him.
Oh, no, Lord.
Well, I'm a good Catholic.
Nancy Pelosi, you opened the door. She needs to apologize to the American people.
Yes, she does.
For shredding it.
It's all now.
I mean, that is...
Did you know that's a felony?
Yes.
It is illegal to destroy a historical document.
No.
Somebody said it was a copy. It was from the president to the House Speaker.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes.
It is a historical document. And she, I don't know if you know this or not, but she already practiced tearing before she got up and told
them.
So it was staged. She made sure the CNN cameras on. Now they're saying it didn't really happen. I said, I watched it.
I did.
But I'm disappointed. But she said, I pray for the president. And like Bonnie said, and I tear his papers up too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what I'm talking about right here. Some people will say something, and you just got to go from the presence. You got to flee the presence of some people like that. But let me go real quick here. I want to read this real fast. I'm sorry this is taking so long in Proverbs. I really wanted to just blitz right through it. But I just can't get away from some of the stuff.
Some good stuff.
But I'm learning as much as I guess anybody else is. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's giving advice to the church in Ephesus. And for sake of time, we'll start in verse 6. Paul says, let no man deceive you. That's one of the biggest problems of today.
Amen, that's right.
Jesus, many times, take heed that no man deceive you.
Right.
And he went on to say that they put on their robes. He said they make pretense, long prayers. He said they make broad their phylacteries. I can't even say the word. He said they're a bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah.
He said what they can pass land and sea to make. I always think about the whole witness on this. He said they can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when they make him, they make him a twofold more child of hell than themselves.
Yeah.
They're not helping no one. They're hurting. But anyway, Paul talking here to the church in Ephesus, he said, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now I tell people this, and I hope y'all understand when I tell them this. I tell people this a lot. Find where God wants you to be.
That's right.
God told Elijah, he said, you go to the brook Cherubim, and I'll feed you there. Can you imagine if he's like the bus today that goes to the church of their choice and said, you know what? I just feel like I would just go here or there. I pray about where I'm supposed to go. Now, a man gave me the phone number to this church, and I called Brother Ed. And I told him, I said, a man gave me a phone number and said, y'all was meeting a pastor, and I'd like to come out and introduce myself. And he said, will you come on? And they were looking for a pastor, and I'm looking for a church. I'm just a little preacher. This is just a little church, and it kind of, for lack of better words, I fit good in right here. I mean, this is about a good place I've been in a long time. I don't mind being a little preacher. I really don't. I'm not trying to promote any way. I'm trying to preach the Word of God. I'm trying to help God's people. Yeah. This is a good place for me to be. And I'll tell you what, every preacher needs to keep, he needs to keep that thought in his mind too. Right. He needs to be where God wants him to be.
Amen.
And people in the church need to make sure that's where God wants him to be. Because if you're where God wants you to be, you can get fed. You can grow. You can get excited. Right. You can say, boy, you should have been there Sunday. I'll tell you right now, I've got to have a great thanks, glory to God.
Yeah.
And Rick said, I don't difference between teaching and preaching. Preaching's teaching set on fire. And I want to teach right now. But in Ephesians here, he said, don't let nobody deceive you because of that. He said, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. I don't want God mad at me. I want to be right where God wants me to be. I want to be doing what God wants me to do. I want to be a blessing.
Right.
He goes on to say, be ye not therefore partakers with them. Now pay attention to this. This is real important. God says, don't be a partaker.
Right.
I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
He said, for ye were sometimes darkness. See, the world, a ship in the ocean floats as long as the ocean don't get in the ship.
Right.
And when the ocean gets in the ship sinks.
Right.
Well, I want you to know we're in the world, but we're not what?
Part of the world.
We're not of the world.
That's right.
Well, when the church starts trying to get all worldly,
that's wrong.
Let me tell you, this flesh loves it. But it don't need it.
Right.
I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I'd rather sit down and shut up. I'd rather sit there and be quiet. I'd rather be still, like Psalms 46:10.
Right.
I'd rather be still and know that He's God than up here yelling, hollering, screaming, or singing, or whatever, and God being a million miles away from that. Well, I just want you to know there's a way about it, and we need to do it that way. So God says, don't be a partaker with that.
Right.
He said, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. He says, walk as children of light. Churches today make a lot of mistakes. What they're trying to do, they're trying to be a little bit world, a little bit church. I want you to know there's a difference between God and the friendship of this world is ending with God. Now I've got to stop and get on with this. I ain't never going to get nowhere in this lesson. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord. We got a Bible.
Amen.
You won't never bother me a bit. When you say, Brother Eddie, don't the Bible say this? I welcome that.
Yeah.
You anytime you want to expound upon a verse, anytime you want to insert a verse, Brother Eddie, what's this verse mean? Brother Eddie, don't the Bible say this? I'll be glad to give you what thus saith the Word of God. I've read the Bible through enough. I'm familiar with it enough. But I got the Holy Spirit to help. And I've never been able to be challenged and not been able to give someone a biblical answer for their inquiry. I say, you know what? That is true. But you got to rightly divide the Word of God. I heard a preacher one time preaching on the radio. And I love the guy. He's a personal friend of mine, but he was wrong in this. He said, my Bible tells me you got to endure to the end to be saved. I wrote him a letter and I said, yeah, it does say that in tribulation. But I said, don't put that in the age of grace.
Right.
For by grace I'm saved.
Right. That's it.
Not by works of righteousness, what I've done, but according to His mercy and His grace, He saved me. By the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. I'll just tell you got to rightly divide the Word of God. That sounded good preaching. I'm sure there's people amen him.
Right.
It wasn't right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So God says, proving what's acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I just want you to know that homosexuality is trying to work its way in the church. I welcome it. But not like you're thinking. I want them to get saved.
Yes, Lord.
They can't sit under anointed preaching because they're going to wear this pew out going from this side to that. My mama come to hear her young little boy preach one time, Bonnie. And she sat on the front row. And I already knew the message God put in my heart. It wasn't a pleasant message. And I saw my mama, I saw her lip get tight. I saw her And then I saw her squirming this side. I'm supposed to go eat dinner with her that day. And I'm sitting there. I mean, I ain't got no choice in the matter. It's either deliver God's mission or take a beating for not doing it. Paul said, if I do this thing, will now receive reward. But woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So I'm delivering this message, and I'm watching my mama scoop one in this pew to the other. And she left before I did. I'm shaking hands, and she's at the house. And I get there, and I can tell she's mad. It wasn't like it wasn't obvious. And she comes over there and sets my tea down, spills it all over the table, and I never said a word. And here she comes, my plate, and she throwed it down, and I still never said a word. And I mean, we talk about it, it was getting ready to get on. And then she sat down, and the first thing came out of her mouth, I love my mama. She kind of said this in spite. She said, "You always preach like that." I said, "No, Mama, I held back because you was there." She threw back her hand to smack her son, and she didn't. And I said, I'm telling you the truth, Mama. I did hold back because you was there. I said, if you hadn't been there, I'd have preached it even worse. But you know what? She rededicated her life. You see, that's what preaching's all about. Right. It put the finger.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. She wasn't expecting to get the finger from her son.
Yeah, that's right.
You remember when Nathan come and told David that little parable?
Yeah.
David said, "The man has done this thing, shall surely die, and he'll restore fourfold." Nathan said, "You're the man."
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
She wasn't expecting that from her son.
Right.
But you know what? She hugged my neck.
Yeah.
She rededicated her life.
Amen.
We got to be careful about this merging with the world. They're opposites.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to our Sunday school lesson. I had no idea all that was going to take off. I'm just going to read a verse. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. I'll tell you what, buddy. It's a good place to be. When you can be where you can get something from the Lord, when a man's spent some time in prayer and spent some time studying, spent some time with God, about like Moses, buddy, I mean, he comes in glowing like a light bulb, and man, they asked him, you know, it's kind of scaring him. He put a veil over his face, but it showed up that he'd spent some time with the Lord. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of the prudent, he wants to try to help people understand why he's like he is. And he, you know, I told y'all that man gave me that illustration. It's the best I've ever had. I went into the foreman's office at R. Donnelly's as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And they's in there talking about print and Jimmy Hurston and Wendell Shaw. And I finally found out where Wendell was. He was in the foreman's office. You get lost enough, and under enough conviction, you get the misery like I had on you. You'll do what I did. I went in that foreman's office with them two men talking about printing, open the door, and said, "I don't care what neither one else talking about. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved." Now, Jimmy Hurston, I love him. Pray for him this morning. Pray for him yesterday morning. He quoted about 5 verses out of the Bible to me. And I'm the natural man. I can't perceive it.
Right.
But I tell you what, they were good verses. Something like Romans 10:13, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Maybe Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. But anyway, all of that had no effect on me. You know what Wendell Shaw did, Carolyn? He said, "I want to sleep right now." Now, you remember, I'm lost. I'm needing some help. This man knows how to help me. I've been working with Wendell for years. He's been trying to talk to me about Jesus. You know what I did, Bonnie? I just walked away from him while he tried to talk to me. I'm trying to talk to him about sin. You know what he did? He walked away from me. We just kind of respected each other. But I knew if I could get to Wendell, I knew he could tell me what I needed to hear. And you know what Wendell told me? He said, "Eddie, Jesus loves you." He said, "Eddie, Jesus wants to save you."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Let me give you this illustration." He said, "Eddie, if your little boy done something wrong, come to you and said, 'Daddy, I'm sorry.'" He said, "Eddie, what would you do?" I said, "Well, what? I forgive him." He said, "It's the same way with God." He said, "Come to him and tell him you're sorry, and he'll save you." You see what I mean?
Yeah.
The wise, they know how to tell somebody. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. They can convey to someone else how to get to Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
But the folly of fools is deceit. They'll lead you astray. That's ain't nothing to that. That's a bunch of put on. I tell you what, buddy. There's a verse in the Bible I'd love for them just to read. Psalms 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
Don't knock it till you try it. That's the reason why I said that. I was one of them to knock it. I had my opinion. It's worse than an onion skin, but I had one. It stunk. And you know what? Once I tried it, I wanted more of it. Yeah. And I'm glad you can have all you want. I'm glad, praise God, there's an ample supply. And I want you to know, praise God, you can spend all the time with God you want to spend.
Yeah, that's right.
But the folly of fools, they say, you're wasting your time. God don't care nothing about you. Look at verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. I can certainly elaborate on that.
Yeah.
I made jokes about sin. There's people at my baptism, Brother Jerry. A man I worked with, Mark Bunch, was there when I got baptized at Brotherhood Field Baptist Church. George Crisp on one side, Ricky Private on the other side. They'd done their best to drown me. But anyway, when I come out of that water, Mark Bunch come up there and he said, I refuse to believe God could save someone like you. And I couldn't even argue with him. I was having a little trouble with it myself. Yeah, that old song, when he reached down, he had reached way down. I'm talking about, buddy, he went to the bottom of the bucket and got me out.
Right.
I mean, drove me up out of a miry pit, set my feet on a rock, established my going, put a song in my heart, and it's still there. Praise the Lord. I tell you, praise God, damn it. Jesus said, who loved me the most? He's been forgiven the much. He's been forgiven a little. If you can get one of them saved, I'll tell you what, buddy, they'll make a good one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, fools make a mock at sin. I had every joke there was. I'm ashamed of some of the things I said. I'm glad, praise God, it's in the sea of forgiveness. Never remember no more against me. I'm glad he cast it far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
Does anybody know how far away that is? Anybody? How far is the east from the west, Caleb?
East-west?
If you're going east, you ain't never going to find the way.
That's right.
That's the far way you put something. If he said from north or south, that wouldn't work. We got a north pole and south pole. But you can go east around this world a million times, you'll still never find the west. And you can go west and never find the east. Because all you're doing is going east or west. That's the far way you can put something. I'm glad the Word of God's worded like that. I'm glad He put that in there just like that. But fools make a mock at sin.
Right.
But among the righteous, there's favor. I obtain favor. You remember what Paul said? You know, that just came to my mind. There's a lot of spirit here this morning. And I'm sorry, this Sunday school lesson, I wanted to get with it, and it ain't getting with it.
Bless it, God.
Paul said he obtained mercy. I was thinking of favor. But he said, I obtained mercy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. And he said, Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. In other words, they said, if God save him, he can save anybody.
Right.
But look here. It said, the righteous, among the righteous is favor. He obtained favor with God.
Right.
He was a chosen vessel. Jesus told Ananias, he said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. He'll suffer many things for my name's sake. And he deserved every bit of it. Man, he was a murderer, a blasphemer, a persecutor. Everybody scared of him. Even Ananias was scared of him. He said, I've heard many things of him.
Yeah.
The Lord said, behold, he prayeth. That's a pretty good sign, ain't it? He down there praying.
Yeah.
And Ananias come down there and he said, hey, brother Saul! Jesus sent me to lay hands on you. I like that. Called him brother.
Yeah.
He was afraid to go, and now he calls him brother. Brother Saul.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 9, called him brother. Brother Saul, Jesus had met you in a way, sent me down here to lay hands on you that you might receive your sight. I think that's where they got the eye of them contacts. Said scales fell off his eyes. I think that's what man thought. You know what? If God can take scales off his eyes, I know it's where they got cataracts at. Anyway, for what it's worth, I think that's where they got the idea of taking cataracts off and making contact lenses. I don't know. You can take that up with God. Anyway, but among the righteous is favor. Man, we ain't made it through, but Three verses here.
Yeah.
The heart knoweth his bitterness, and a stranger doeth not intermeddle with his joy. Boy, that's quite a verse. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. When you read about the heart, the Bible says the heart's deceitful, wicked, and who can know it? Our heart. You know, Jesus said, out of a good heart, a man bringeth forth good things. And you know, that heart's important. God said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And now that heart, from a other heart, Jesus said, proceeds from an evil heart, proceeds murders and blasphemes and stuff. And I had one of them, I'll tell you that right now. I ain't going to look that up. I'm going to try to get on with it. But the heart knoweth his own bitterness. You can't hide it if it's in your heart.
Right.
The Bible says God's greater than our heart and knows all things. I will go to that. 1 John chapter 1. Let's see here. 1 John chapter 3. My little children, in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. Verse 20 is the reason I turn to this. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. And beloved, if our heart condemn us not, and that's the kind of heart I like, then we have confidence towards God. Well, what's so good about that? Well, listen to this next verse. And whatsoever we ask.
Yeah.
Woo! That's good ground right here.
Yeah.
We receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, a bunch come to Him one day and said, what work might we work? We might work the works of God. Jesus said, this is the work. Believe on Him who He sent. Well, here that is right here. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. A heart knoweth his own bitterness.
Yeah.
Somebody said the Great Welch Revival down in Florida was started because someone called on a man to dismiss a service in prayer, and he started praying and he broke down and he said, what's the use when your heart's not right with God? One man was honest with himself, was honest with God, was honest before others, and that Great Welch Revival proceeded because of that. He said, what's the use if your heart's not right with God?
Right.
The dam broke. Next thing you know, it's gushing. I mean, sinners got saved. People got called to preach. I mean, four people was on fire. I like it on that fashion. I'll take it in. If God wants to send it today, I'll take it. I'll tell you right now.
Right.
But the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doeth not intermeddle with his joy. You know, we got joy unspeakable, and we got peace that passes understanding. And it says, and a stranger, it don't interrupt his joy. I hope I'm perceiving this right. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doeth not intermeddle with his joy. You can have bitterness or joy, and I'll tell you how to have the joy is just get right with the Lord. And if you're in bitterness, I'll tell you, it's because you need to do something with this Jesus, or concerning this Jesus, or about this Jesus. You need to do something. And that bitterness, I remember, I guess it was Hannah, that Eli thought she was drunk. She said, I'm not drunk, I'm just in bitterness of soul. I'm wanting a child. And he said, God grant it to you. Next thing you know, Samuel's born. Well, anyway, verse 11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Boy, I like that. That's in a good tense there. Man, get your house in order.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, it'll flourish. Bonnie back there talking about painting. I'm going to say that looked pretty good. Put a big slab of paint on there. Amen. I painted a little bit last night myself and it looked good. Verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ain't it something everybody seems like they've got an opinion? Everybody thinks they're right and everybody else is wrong. I'll tell you how to know the difference. Paul said, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Mm-hmm. If you don't line it up with the Scripture, how are you going to know whether something's right or wrong? Mm-hmm. I mean, buddy, that's the conclusion of the whole matter. You line it up with the Bible, nail it down with Bible nails. Man, stand, doesn't have an altar to stand, put on the armor of God, war, good warfare, you'll find out. Buddy, your boat can't be rocked. I tell people lots of times, I said, if old brother Eddie rocks your boat, don't blame me. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I ain't big enough to rock nobody's boat, but I've rocked some, I'll tell you that. Just in preaching. I've had people get up and run out.
Yeah.
Some of them run out cussing. They took it personal. It may have been personal to them. Man, I've been there. I was going to hit the preacher in the mouth on the way out the door of the Isaac. I tell you what, if all said nothing, they had to help me out. I have to admit, I didn't realize just how big old thing this was. Got bigger than my problem. Bigger than my anger. Bigger than all of my opinions about church. And first thing I thought my wife's told them everything I've ever done. We get home, she's happy. It wasn't my wife. Then I thought, who's he think he is telling me I'm a sinner? I'd roll monster with this guy. We used to ride, he had a 650 Triumph, and I had a 450 that time, a 450 Honda later on. I got a Harley Davidson Sportster. But here we are out there in the country riding. I mean, like easy riding. And here he is up there preaching, and he's telling me I'm a sinner. He preached that day that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account of it the day of judgment. He made me mad because I had a little trouble in my mouth. You know what I mean? Man, I cussed. Said things I shouldn't have said them the way I shouldn't have said them. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's he doing? I've been with him. Hey, he's right with God, I wasn't. But all said and done, I got right too. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing better than being right.
Amen.
Somebody said it'll get right or get left. Well, anyway, I'm right, amen. And I'm right now. I wasn't right then, but I'm right now. John the Baptist said this about Jesus. He maketh the crooked straight. He straightened me out. I'm dumbbell straight, amen. But there is a way that seems right. I've had some of these debates, discussions, and people say, well, you know the way I see it. Well, the last verse of the book of Judges said every man done that which was right in his own sight. That don't make it right. He said, well, we've always done it this way. I said, that don't make it right. I said, what makes it right when it lines up with that book? You take that and leave it. If it don't line up with that book, proceed with caution.
Right.
You know, one of the best things that I've relied on a lot is my heart. I just read that verse about God being greater than my heart, knowing all things. There's been a few times my heart has smoked me. And I felt it. I remember one of the most predominant times my heart smoked me, we just got saved. We was trying to do right, trying to stay in church and all of that. And it was on a Sunday night, and after the service, we had like chili or soup or something back there in the back of the church. And just got to remember now, I'm not real mature, I'm saved, but I'm just a babe in Christ. My little boy, he was only 8 years old. He's the one that God used to get me in church, and he's He-Man all the way. By the power of grace, God. I mean, he's just young, full of life. And here I am, I'm as awkward and uncomfortable, but I'm trying to get comfortable, I'm trying to learn, and I'm trying to fit in. And here we're all back there just enjoying each other's company, and they're trying to help me, and I need help. And here comes my son. Jump in that room with all of them sitting down eating. By the power of grace, go land right in somebody's plate, and there went chili or soup or whatever all over the floor. An old man come on the scene. I said, come on, we're leaving. And the people didn't mind. My son didn't even realize what he'd done. But on the way home, I went too far. I'm driving home, Carolyn. And I turned around. My little boy sitting back there in the back. He's about Landon's age. Just a little boy. Just a old head boy. And I looked back there, Carolyn. And I said, maybe one of these days God will give me a good little boy. When those words came out of my mouth, my heart smote me immediately.
Right.
I shut my mouth like a clam. Not one more word come out of my mouth all the way home. We drove home in complete silence. Nobody knew what was going on but me. I went to work that night at R. Donnelly's, and I had it up to here about 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't take no more. I raised my little white flag up. I surrendered. I called home. Finally got my wife to answer the phone. They didn't have cell phones back then. Had the old dial phones, I guess. She said, "Yeah, what do you need, honey?" I said, "I need you to go get my little boy up. I need to talk to him." She said, "Honey, he's asleep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning." I said, "Well, it's like this, honey. I said, you either get him up or I'm leaving work and coming home. I'll get him up." My wife, she's all about money. She didn't want to miss out on little money. So she went and got that little boy up. He come in there, and I could tell he wasn't real good awake. He said, "Hello, hello."
Blessed God.
I said, "Son, I'm sorry." I said, "God's already given me a good little boy." He's okay, Daddy. Went back to bed. But I'll tell you what, buddy, it made a difference between me and God.
That's right. Yeah.
Cleaned
your heart.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, buddy, I got that hard way, but I needed it. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, just as soon as I told him I was sorry, boy, everything was all right. Mm-hmm. I had it up here. I'll just tell you right now, I couldn't go no further than that. Somebody told me a tale one time about stealing the nickel. And he said, "Boy, I got that nickel back." He said, "It felt like a ragged wheel." He said, "I'm trying to get that nickel back where I stole it." And he said, "I'm a dragging that thing and trying to get it back." And he said, "Hey, I'm sorry I stole this nickel from you." He said, "You can have it, son." And he said, "I didn't want it now. I wanted to take it back." That's a long time ago. I remember hearing a preacher telling that story. Man, I was about Landon's age back when I heard that. It was at Vacation Bible School. Well, anyway, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, a lot of people, they just never going to figure it out. Let me show you what I mean by that. You see, there's a lot of religions in the world. God done the best He could to try to warn people about religion in Matthew chapter 7. Now, He mentioned two ways in verse 13 and 14. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now verse 15 tells you why few find it.
Yeah.
"Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." He said, "You shall know them by their fruits." I get the wrong fruit. "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit."
Yeah.
"A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Now these two verses always scare everybody. But the Lord's talking to religion. Here's what He says about religion. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Now God loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the simplest verse in the Bible. John 3:16. Look at verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied," that means preached, "in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." This is that sad verse to religion. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I just want you to know why God put that in there. See, in John chapter 10, he's the good shepherd. He said, I know my sheep. I give unto them eternal life. They follow me. Look at John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. He can't say I never knew you if you're in the body of Christ, if you're in the family of God. He can't say I never knew you. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I just want you to know there is a way that seems right to a man, but it can't take the test. What do you mean? Get Brother Eddie preacher sometime. You talking about rocking some boats. I work with a guy at Jehovah's Witness. I said, y'all invite me over sometime. He said, come on. I said, I will. He said, no, I'm just kidding. I will. That's kind of privilege going there.
Yeah. He didn't want to hear that.
Well, he just thought I wouldn't take him up on it. I guess. I don't know, but I'd be glad to go over there. Sure. I'd be glad to go to Mormon church. They may not like it. They run out there like a bunch of rats leaving a singing chip. I'll tell you right now, buddy, it makes a difference when you got a real anointed preacher behind the pulpit.
Right.
He's preaching precept upon precept, line upon line.
Yeah.
It makes a difference because you rock people's boats if they ain't what they need to be. And those that don't realize what they're believing is a lie, what they're following is a dead end street.
No.
I'm glad, praise God, we're on the path of the just as the shining light shineth more and more into the perfect day.
Right.
I'm glad, praise God, we're walking in the light. He's in the light, having fellowship one with another.
Right.
Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. I have laughed before with a sorrowful heart because I couldn't bear it. It was the only exit I had. I just had to laugh it off. Something broke that I needed. I just had to laugh it off.
Right.
You know what I do, Brother Mitchell? I always just say, well, it could have been worse. If it ever gets where it can't be worse, I don't know. I guess I pull a pin on the hand and I don't know what to do.
Amen.
But you know, I have laughed a few things off.
That's right.
I've wrecked cars and said, well, could have been worse.
Could have been a lot worse.
You know, I thought a lot of that car could work on it.
Amen.
Didn't want them, you know, I put a little time in working on fixing it up.
Yeah.
Go like you need it and hit it. I'll hit a curve too hard or tire give out or whatever. But sometimes, you know, even in laughter, the heart saw. I wasn't happy, but I laughed anyway. It was the only exit I had. And the end of that murder is heaven. You can't laugh everything off. I'll just tell you right now.
That's right.
And this will be our last verse here, because it's 5 minutes till. The backslider in heart. That's terrible word in there.
Yes, right.
Somebody said the heart leads before the person does. Jesus said, this people draw nigh to me with the mouth, but the heart, far from it. Look, I won't be honest with you. When I first got saved, there's a few times I sat in church, but I wasn't there. My mind was somewhere else.
Yeah,
I hate to confess that, but I want to tell you, there's been a few times that I sat in church and my mind was somewhere else.
Yeah, sure.
Fellas, I believe the devil is sitting beside me. And he has caused me to think about things.
Yeah.
Like that I needed to do or wanted to do. You know, nothing means more to me now than going to the house of God. It's not fun day no more than it used to be.
Right.
Until I got in there, I mean rooted, grounded, settled in my heart, no more tossed to and fro where went a doctrine. But I mean steadfast and sure, anchored to the soul. I mean right where it needed to be.
Right.
There's a few times I sat in church. I'm not kidding, Brother Jerry, my mind was somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the preacher looked over at me and even though my eyes was open, I'm a little bit asleep. I wasn't getting nothing.
Yeah.
I wasn't wanting to get anything. It wasn't like I was hungry like I usually do, Carolyn. Wanted to hear it. Yeah, amen, preacher brother. I mean, got the whole dump truck loaded back over here, I'll take it home with me.
Amen.
You know what? I'm just sitting there like a knot on the log, Brother Mitchell. Right. A backslider in the heart. My heart was on other things. I'm ashamed to tell it, but I will.
Amen.
And not only the backsliding heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. We'll stop on that verse right there. And you know, you can get all you want to get here today. I promise you that.
That's right.
You can get as much as you want right here today.
Open up your ears.
Or you can leave as empty as you came in.
That's right.
I'll just tell you right now, God will
fill your cup up.
He'll cause you. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. The psalmist said, "Thou anointest my head with oil; my cup runneth over."
Amen.
And you can have a running over cup, or you can have a run for the door.
That's right.
Either one. We'll stop right there.